time now to catch up with Jeff from Silawan. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning to all our listeners.
What's happening, mate, on the wonderful winery? I believe snow bells are ringing over there or something.
As I said, just the saying, snow white, heavy frost this morning, Peter. And I would say a lot of our listeners out in the up from the coast experienced the same this morning. Mm-hmm. Crisp, fresh day. Heaviest frost we've had this year, actually. But you know what? It's such a gorgeous day. And I was just mentioning Rod, one of our elderly statesmen that works here, turned up as usual this morning in his shorts. And, you know, it doesn't affect him.
No, wow. Yeah, I get a similar reaction from some of the neighbors here. You know, I walk around in a T-shirt and a pair of shorts. And one of them in particular always says, "It's cold, come in and close the door. You're not normal," she said.
Yes. Well, you know, the thing is, it's so beautiful here at this time of the year, Peter. By 10 o'clock, we're wine tasting outside. We're anywhere where the sun's shining and there's a little bit of shade for the head and that. I mean, it is absolutely beautiful. By 10, I'll guarantee you by 10 today, it'll probably be 12, 13 degrees and sitting in the sun, no breeze, and by 11 it'll probably be 18 or even more. I didn't look actually to see what the forecast temperature is going to be here today, and I'm just going to have a quick look while we're chatting here. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's supposed to be 15, but we're going to exceed that easily, Peter, I would say. I'd hazard a guess that it'll be 15 by at least 11 and probably quite a bit warmer later in the day unless a change comes in.
Yeah, well, I was going to say Buddy running around with tippy toe, but we've got to say he's running around with tippy paws.
Yes, well, that's it. And the new kitty cat's come out a little bit. He's still hiding because Buddy's a bit of a beast. You know, even when he's meaning to be nice, he scares the heck out of the cat.
But what's the cat's name?
I think we got sold a bill of goods there. Cat's name's Tiger.
Died,
unfortunately. He was 12, 13 years old, and he was an excellent mouse catcher, but he'd been in retirement for a year or two. Right. And, of course, we, like everybody else have out here in the country, have field mice, and, boy, they take over if you're not careful. Yeah. And so we put a notice on the board, Peter, the local board, and said, you know, that we'll take a cat. If somebody has a cat or a kitten, we'll let him grow. And so as some people called up, we really wanted a cat, but because we wanted an experienced mouse catcher. And they called up and said, oh, their grandmother was going into a home and she had a cat. And the story we got is the cat was 5 years old. It was an outdoor cat. And we thought, ooh, he sounds good. And then when I heard his name was Tiger, Peter, I thought, oh, that's perfect. And they bring this cat over, and I swear to God, it's a midget. But it's actually oldly. It's not even a year old. I don't think it's ever been outside, Peter. We put it outside, and we got a stainless steel screen door on one side there. And about the first day we put it out there, about 10 times, it caught it right at the very top of the screen door. It climbed all the way up the door, trying to get back inside, Peter.
Oh, dear,
It's a very intelligent cat. It got the door open about three times.
Oh, yeah. They actually use their back paws. They'll crawl up on the door and use their back paws to push the handle down. And then they swing, and open comes the door. I've seen that maneuver here.
Anyway, I decided the only thing that was true about this cat, Peter, was his name, Tiger. Anyway, we've got hopes for it. It's now quite happy outside because it can't come in, not just the allergy situation, but we're licensed for food.
That's right.
And so it can't come into the area. So it's quite happy out there now, sleeping in the garage, and turns up every day. And it turns up after the big beast, Buddy, has his dinner. He passes out in his kennel, and then the cat comes out and comes over to the window and sits on the windowsill. And that's a very friendly little fellow. Mm-hmm. But just his mere presence in the garage has probably cleaned out a lot of vermin, Peter. Yeah, got rid of all those guys.
Yeah, well, thank God for that, because believe me, I remember years and years and years ago, I was up in Queensland and come out, you know, you always put your your food and everything in the cupboard, you know, in the kitchen. And opened, I think there was 10 million mice and hardly any food left. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. It is terrible. Anyway, Peter, big things happening. You know, I've got a new ledger that I've started, Peter. And the new ledger is keeping track of all the people in Australia, government employees and politicians, that have been fired or fell on their sword because of the coronavirus.
Heavens.
And I don't have an entry yet, Peter.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were going
to tell me that, you know, you had the thing full and they were looking for staff.
It's most incredible. It must be the best job in the world. You can, besides a weatherman who, you know, doesn't have to get anything right, but, well, he's a government employee too, but, you know, it's just incredible that nobody has taken responsibility for anything. Incredible. We had a Royal Commission, or I don't know if it's a commission, an inquiry anyway, over this cruise ship. Nobody takes responsibility. Nobody gets fired. You know, I mean, they're just some of the most incompetent, you know, actions.
Yeah.
Look, they can't think past tomorrow, Peter. That's the problem. And we've talked about this how many times, you know, test and track. You know, we started test and track, spending the money foolishly, bankrupting the country, test and track. And here we've got, you know, countries in, like Sweden's down to 50 cases or something. Never closed down, Peter. Didn't shut down. No. Just recommended social distancing.
And the people did it. This is the problem here. You know,
well, look, we got Norway and Sweden and Denmark and Finland and Germany even, you know, have done better than we have. Now, Germany did shut down, and some of the other countries took actions as well. But it's people that understand how to operate in a pandemic. And we don't have any of those types of people, Peter. We run around and react to the moment. We don't plan for the future. Right. As we said before, 1.4-kilometer lineup in Sydney to get tested for coronavirus. You know, that's scandalous. Absolutely scandalous.
It's ridiculous. I mean, if those people, social distancing, my God. I mentioned that to some people in the shopping centre yesterday. I had to go shopping and I had to see my medic. Right, so I brought things home when I finished there. Fortunately, I had a lift home. And I said, social distancing, to this mob that was standing there. And they looked at me as if I'd swore at them.
Yeah.
They didn't understand.
Yeah, I'll give you an example of how it works here in Australia. This entire outbreak in Victoria came from one woman. It's a new strain. It had never been in Australia before. It came actually because of the security company. They spread it to two of the quarantine hotels, okay? And those security people, they spread it into the community. And here's the thing. Did the government or the civil servant who hired that security firm, did he get fired or did he resign?
No,
he didn't. And the government doesn't take responsibility. Did the minister resign? No. He blames it on the security company. You know, that's the problem we've got, Peter. We just, nobody takes responsibility. Nobody understands. But nobody takes responsibility. And then the government does these stupid things like permitting demonstrations, permitting the Muslim holiday, giving them a permit. 150 cases came out of that, out of that Ramadan. And we've just given them the Muslims permission to do it here in New South Wales. Same thing. They got a permit. I mean, look, I'm not against any, I'm not really for or against any religion, to be honest. But the thing is, it's the assembly of the people. You know, you cannot, if you're going to shut down, you shut down. If you're not, you don't. And we don't handle it right. And we had 12 cases yesterday, I think it was, in New South Wales, 13 and 14 the day before. And we've shut down again, Peter. We've got countries all over the world with 500 people, like Victoria, you know, similar populations up to between 100 and 500 people. They're not shut down, Peter. They're not shut down.
No.
They realize you have to track it. You have to live with it. You cannot stay shut down like New South Wales is with 12 cases, Peter. Come on. I mean, there's probably 500 contagious people walking around every day with 10 other diseases. We don't shut the property, you know, the state down because of that.
No.
It's just insane.
I don't know what's wrong with these people. You know, we are told to self-isolate if we have to. We are told to exercise social distancing. You know, what part of that don't they understand?
Yeah, well, 50% of the checkups they've done on people that have been asked or told to quarantine went there. Okay, so yeah. That's part of it. Now, the $1,000 fine, it might help. And I see now repeat offenders are going to get $20,000 fine. So that might help that up, Peter.
Yeah, the only problem is, though, these people will probably say, I'm not playing that.
Right? Well, that's it. Then they become citizens of the state, Peter. We've got to feed them.
Yeah, wonderful, isn't it?
There was an interesting article today, Peter, came out of the University of Sydney, of all places, my old alma mater. They have found, which we have said time and time again months ago, Peter, 4 months ago, shutting schools is an absolutely stupid idea, which we have said many, many, many times.
Yeah.
Furlough all the teachers, if you like, or let teachers take voluntary leave or whatever. But out of the University of Sydney on August 4th, the headlines is COVID-19 study in Australia confirms low transmission in educational settings. Schools are not the source or the area where they're transmitted. And when those students are out of schools, we said this 6 months ago, 5 months ago, Peter, it is stupid closing schools because, firstly, the recorded cases are very, very low. And the government's deceiving, you know, deceptive, because they get a single case in a school and they might get two cases, but they never say if it's from the same family. You know, they shut the school and clean it, sure, and then the kids go back to school, which is good policy. But how many of those are there, Peter? You got a case here, a case there. You do not get a rampant case of problems from the school settings. And this study from the University of Sydney, just August 4th, confirms that the safest place for children is in school, and the safest place for the population is to have them in school.
Right, so, I notice a few breakouts, shall we say, in the Newcastle area, schools being shut down for cleaning. There was, I forget, was it a soccer game or something? One of the young people there, and it looks like the cases are starting to appear in the Newcastle Hunter area, you know, like a pub shut here and, oh boy. So you've got to be careful. And
yes, but that's testing and tracing, Peter.
Yeah.
That's not rampant outbreak, you know. And if those people, you know, we have a young fellow that played football at that same field in Nelson's Bay or Port Stephens or wherever it was, that 9-year-old got tested. He went and got tested,
yeah,
and he was negative. He had the flu, but he didn't have coronavirus. But the thing is, that's the point. They contacted every team that played on that field on that day that the 9-year-old had it. And I don't know if there was a 3-year-old got it and a 9-year-old, I think. I didn't see a report if they were the same family, but I would think they probably were. But anyway, that's the thing, the tracing, Peter. So he self-isolated until he went and got tested, the young fellow that works here, and it came back negative, and so he was back yesterday.
Sure.
So that's the procedure we're going to have for years until we get a vaccine, Peter.
Yeah, well, it's down to TBL. Too bloody lazy to go and have the test.
Yeah, well, you know, we had 3 cases in Wagga, or 4 cases, I think it was, but they just returned from Melbourne.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't, that's what you have to do. You have to track people, trace them. Can't shut down forever. I mean, Europe's opened up and they got, look, New South Wales, same size as Sweden, right? Sweden never shut down and they had 50-odd cases yesterday. And, you know, 60-something, I think it was. But that's how we have to operate, Peter. We just got to keep the system going.
Yeah. Otherwise, we all sink.
Well, that's it. How long can we go? Like, I don't know, they haven't announced in Australia. We know the economy's in the tank. Now, US just announced they're over 30% down. And they didn't shut down like as much as we did. And they've suffered for it because they can't, their laws, I don't think, allow them to shut the states down, like to stop people from traveling from one place to another. So, and according to our Prime Minister here as well, neither do the Australian laws. When Western Australia shut the place down totally, the Prime Minister announced that they're not legal under Confederation. So, but he didn't do anything about it. So I think you'd probably have to take him to court or something to reverse that.
Yeah, hands in the air, That's about the strength of it.
Yeah. It's an interesting study done as well, Peter. They've discovered that if you teach children proper breathing exercises, their academic performance improves.
Yeah, because they get more oxygen.
It goes to the brain.
Yep.
Exactly. And so they said, don't hire your children, don't necessarily hire your children tutors to improve their school performance. Teach them proper breathing exercises.
Yeah. In other words,
so makes sense.
In other words, the reward is getting it right. We're back to that again. Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we sometimes overlook the simple solution to find a more complex solution, Peter. And there's, I've forgotten what the principle is, you know.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, that's one principle. There is another study said if the, you know, if they, I'm paraphrasing now, but if the, you know, solution looks apparent, it probably is the solution.
Yeah.
I forget what it was, it's a saying, and I've just slipped out of my mind. I should look it up. But anyway, Peter, not much we can do. We invite people. Again, we're limited in group size to 10. We can spread them around here, but we invite people to come and visit the vineyard. We've lost a couple of big tour groups, you know, not big tour, but, you know, like 15 and 20 people. Government's limited it to 10.
Yeah, can't you have 10, say, in row one, and then row five have another 10? Isn't that
about? I think, like, we've got an acre here to spread people out. I mean, it's not, and we get people come in here and hike and do whatever, but they, it's the buses, Peter, the transportation. They're not allowed to now. Anybody that has more than a 10-seater, Peter, is in trouble. He can't use the bus. He can use the bus. He can only carry 10 people.
Ridiculous.
Now, well, it is ridiculous. Are the buses running around Newcastle and Sydney limited to 10 people?
No, I think it's 12, actually, but they've got these green circles saying, sit here. Now, I got on a bus yesterday. Somebody must have been bored. They took it off the seat and wrapped it around one of the poles. So now what the government is saying, if you're using public transport, wear a mask.
Yeah, but they see, this guy's a forward thinker, Peter. He's thinking, you know, a pole dancer's going to get on this bus, and they're not going to be able to use that pole, right?
But yeah, well, it's got to get wiped. See, when the buses go through the John Hunter, these two people jump on and they clean all the buttons and everything and the tops of the seats. And then the bus goes on its merry way. And when it comes back through, it gets cleaned again, which is a good move. I mean, that's very positive. And it's got to the point now where when I'm on the bus, I can say, hello again. And he says, oh, hello again.
Well, I don't know how quickly they can get these ultraviolet lights in. But if they can get the ultraviolet lights in, Peter, we don't need all those people cleaning. We only need that certain wave frequency of ultraviolet light. Now, ultraviolet light is not expensive to create. It's not like laser, because ultraviolet light, of course, all those mosquito killers that hang around outside and attract mosquitoes from, kilometers around are ultraviolet light. and they're attracting mosquitoes. But at a certain wavelength, you recall here a month or so ago, we did the program, it's shown to kill 100% of the coronavirus. So all we need is to put ultraviolet light in at night or wherever, everywhere in your house, hospitals, everywhere, and it kills coronavirus. But you got to get them. We probably need, you know, a billion of those items, and how long it's going to take to get them in the market, who knows?
But that's like a good
that's
idea.
That's the future. Yeah, to keep your house and everything. And they should not be expensive. They're going to be mass produced. Yeah. I mean, what does an ultraviolet light mosquito thing cost, Peter? You know, $15 or whatever it costs? We don't use them here at the vineyard because we have very, very few mosquitoes or bugs of any kind. And I can tell you, those things work really well. You hang them outside, Peter, suddenly you got 1,000 bugs. You know, you're going to hang it up the bush somewhere, you know.
All right. Now, we've got to get people to, one, your website, two, they can come in groups of 10 and get involved with, of course, organic wine.
Yes, Peter. Cellarwines.com.au, mix and match down to a 9-pack, Peter, and free delivery Australia-wide. You can't go wrong. Nice glass of organic wine.
You betcha. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Mate, nice to catch up with you.
Yeah, great, Peter. And we'll catch up next week.
Sure will. That's Jeff from Acela Wine. That's acelawines.com.au. Do it now.